You want to do some podcasting, Jay?
Oh my God, I thought you would never ask.
King Arthur loved cuckolds. The dude was bigger than a giant.
Solid. That's a thing I need to know.
Yeah.
I am the god of this forest, and I will flex.
And welcome to My Medieval Mayhem, the podcast where we discuss medieval literature, history, and medievalism. Every 2 weeks, I, Marcel Osada, bring a topic to discuss with my brother, Jan Michael Osada.
Hello, how's it going, Internet?
Hey.
I can't hear you, but yeah.
Maybe.
How crazy would it be if I could?
Are you a
listen?
Cheetah? Yeah.
Listen, John. I know you've been having a rough day, but things are gonna look up soon. I got a good feeling.
Yeah, John gets to hear a amazing medieval story because we're back with part two of this episode. But before we get to that, Jan, what's new? Anything new?
Oh,
you good?
Bruv, up here in Santa Barbara at a tech expo, a lot of talk about AI and holograms and the future of computing. I don't know. With any luck, money is obsolete in the next 5 years, and we can just hand the keys of society over to the great overlords of computing. But I don't think that's what we're here to discuss. So I'll probably just be the guy in the corner keeping my mouth shut. So,
all right. I sincerely doubt you will be keeping your mouth shut, my friend, because that would be a really boring podcast. So let's move into it. What can you remember in a sentence about our last episode? One sentence summary.
Yeah. Okay. Yep,
that's all you get. So, because I don't want to. If you want to know what happened last episode, you go listen, my friend.
Very good. And that's a plug to our last episode, which if you're jumping into this one, oh boy, you're gonna have a lot of questions.
Yep.
Okay. So, got to choose my words carefully. Let's see here. So, problematic boy leaves home after a group of knights tell him how cool King Arthur is, comma, boy kills man, takes armor, and becomes a knight.
Pretty good. I'll take it. Yeah, that's a
I
great
had to.
Yeah.
I mentioned King Arthur. I know there's a whole bit where he goes in and talks to him.
And that's one of those sentences that if you're really good at punctuation, you can make it one sentence.
Yes. Yep.
So let's get into it directly, man. Let's just
hit me. I've been on the edge of my seat. I definitely haven't forgotten most of what's happened. But yeah.
Meanwhile, so figure that out.
Cool.
The boy went riding through the forest without a stop until he came to a flat land beside a river. The river was wider than a crossbow's range.
Okay.
Yeah. And you'll find that a lot, by the way, in medieval literature. Distances are like bow lengths or rocks throws or, you know, like.
When did, like, not the inch, but the centimeter, when did the centimeter become, like, a standard measurement tool? Or were they just using, like, fists or?
Yeah, actually, because, you know, it's like, even when the centimeter was developed, right, the average person didn't have the things to measure whatever that was. They were using knots and rope and, you know, like kind of stuff, you know.
Sure.
Because it was
so using a measurement from that another
rod.
Person. Yeah, sure. Someone gave you a rope that they had tied off, measured to their rope, which they had measured to the one guy they knew who had a ruler.
Fights amongst us are common, dating back into antiquity. Fades into history of people getting really upset about that kind of shit. In fact, one of the earliest I think complaints we have is that this guy's copper sucks, and it's like some Roman ancient Roman, like 500 BC's type, like fuck this guy and his or no, I think it's even older than that. I think it's Mesopotamian, like it's but it's way back recorded,
Wow.
yeah. So
Getting ripped off since the dawn of time.
100%. Yeah. Crossbows range. Do you want to know a little bit about crossbows, Jim?
Sure. I have one in my mind, but I probably don't know much about it. I know it shoots stuff. Darts? It
Yeah.
shoots darts or bolts. Bolts.
Shoots bolts. Yeah. There's a bunch of different kinds. Some are big,
Oh,
some are
there's
small.
lightning bolts, there's fire bolts. There's arcane energy bolts. Those ones are fucking sick.
You're right, Jan. That's ambiguous pronoun use by it. I was referring to crossbows and not bolts, but
Oh, sure. Yeah.
the crossbows. So I found some fun stuff. There's a gastrophytes,
Okay.
gastro, like stomach. And this was an ancient Greek weapon. It's apparently, well, first of all, I love this because I feel like this is the truest response. And it comes from Wikipedia. It's not clear where and when the crossbow originated.
Yep,
So
cool. One
I
of
have
those
no answers.
sentences where you walk out of it the exact same as you walked in.
However, we're going to get hypothesize a whole shit ton here. And probably the reason is because the parts themselves, if they're made of wood, they're going to erode, and we're not going to have any proof of them necessarily. But we do have like secondhand accounts where people drew pictures of people with crossbows, So,
Okay, sure.
when that
So.
started happening, you can imagine that that was probably around when it started, or we missed a bunch of shit because the people were busy shooting crossbows at their pottery or something. I don't know. Yeah. But,
Yeah, sure.
so early assessments, 7th to 5th century BC, it was like a game-changing weapon, man. Because you can the longbow and bows in general take a long time to train, right? Like
Sure,
you
it's a
gotta get
skill.
good.
People
So yeah.
still train today to get real good at bow hunting.
Yeah. And it's amazing, right? Like especially if you use the old like recurve bows or longbow or something, but you can hand a crossbow to any idiot. And that idiot can shoot, and that's what the military has been based off for a good amount of
Yeah,
time.
for sure.
They just
Half
have
of recorded history.
Fancier crossbows. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the second you have a trigger,
Yep. Changes
yeah,
everything.
that really does change the game. The second you can just push on a thing and an action happens,
Yep. 650 feet or meters on a crossbow. I think it's feet. 650 feet. Yeah.
that's a big river.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I was picturing a little less range than that. I
Nope.
guess
Yeah.
accurate range is what I was
And you can
like.
get people to fire these in order, right? Like so that you can have waves of them. Just
Wow.
reload, doom,
Sure. Yeah.
doom, doom, and you're just pounding away, right? In the Han Dynasty, up to 50% of the army at one point. Han Dynasty is about 200 BC. I did look this up. They were had up to 50% of their army was crossbowmen. That's how
Wow.
effective they were. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense. Not a lot of training,
Yeah.
long range.
I mentioned gastrophytes and I didn't pay that off. What that is a belly bow or a belly breather because they would lean into it and like rest the center on their stomach. And it had this complicated recharge system at the front. So it would load the bow by pushing a stick to the ground that would arm it by pulling the string back, right?
Oh, that probably looked dumb as hell.
Yeah,
You
stupid.
probably looked real dumb.
It even
Like,
says, where is it? Unlike later Roman and medieval crossbows, spanning the weapon was not done by pulling up the string, but by pushing down on an elaborate slider mechanism, right? So that's the belly bow or the belly shooter. And it was a handheld crossbow used by ancient Greeks. However, it was replaced by much simpler crossbow technology later. So, yeah.
sure. What
Yeah.
what kind of crossbows is the boy messing with? What would he,
He
having
probably had
never,
the. Yeah.
he didn't know what a knight was, but
It's
he
true.
can look at a river and assess that's about a crossbow's length right there. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, essentially they just became smaller and probably the ones that are described here are made of bronze. The
Some more.
gastrophytes.
Okay. So the crossbows are getting cooler. There's new pieces being added to it. I imagine structural improvements, probably lighter. Is steel's not lighter than copper, is it?
I believe it is, but it's much sturdier, you know. Like that's the biggest part. So you'd have tension, you know. These things were lethal. Like I said, you know, it's like 600 feet. That thing's flying. So anyway, so the river was wider than a crossbow's range, but all the water that ebbed and flowed stayed within its banks. He rode right across a meadow towards the great and roaring river, but he didn't venture into the water. He saw that it was dark and rushing and a good deal deeper than the Loire. You want to know what the Loire is?
Yeah, that's my immediate question is, the word I didn't know.
Yeah. So I pulled this. Got two. So let me hit you with Wikipedia first, okay?
Okay.
And then I'll read you a description that at first I was like, this is very, very biased. But then as the story goes on, I'm like, you know what? Fuck, maybe not. So there you go. First one, Wikipedia. The Loire is the longest river in France and the 171st longest in the world.
Okay. Wow. It's a
So
long
long
river.
ass river.
Yeah,
Yeah.
cool.
That's it. Now let me read you from this is a French cruise website called Croisi Europe River Cruises. The beauty of the landscapes of the Loire are legendary. Here and there, a castle, a fortress, or an abbey, and in the distance, the forest bordering the picture. The Loire particularly inspired the famous English watercolorist William Turner, called the Painter of Light. Joachim du Bellay, a French poet of local descent, praised the Avignon sweetness. After him, Jean de La Fontaine, Baudelaire, Victor Hugo, and many other romantic souls dipped their pen in the vaporous atmosphere of the Loire Valley, which became, in the Renaissance, the place of residence of the kings of France. Their castles, veritable jewels encrusted in dream scenery, enjoy an international reputation.
So it's the place where the main campaign is taking place. There isn't a side quest to be found. It's just keep versus, everyone you're hitting is an important NPC. Kings and other nobility that I'm not 100% familiar with.
Yeah, and as I was reading it, actually, if he's from the north of France, he's supposed to be from the woods, remember? I don't know
Yes, of
why he
course.
knows he knows the Loire, but he doesn't know the
But he
rest. But
doesn't, yeah,
anyway,
sure.
it's a relatively shallow river for the majority of it, but when it rains heavy and it floods, it goes nuts, right? And it can
Okay.
easily reach 2 meters and be roaring, you know.
Okay.
So it can be as low as they say 25 centimeters, you know. So
Okay.
really, really
Yeah, sure.
shallow.
Shallow. You can just walk across that fucker.
So this is deeper than that, apparently. So he rode along the bank, and on the far side of the river rose a jagged crop of rock, the water beating at its foot. And on one side of the rock, where it sloped down to the sea, there stood a rich and imposing castle. As the river opened into a bay, the boy turned to his left, and there he saw the castle's towers being born. For in his eyes, they were being born there, issuing from the rock. In the middle of the castle loomed a great strong tower, and a mighty barbican faced the bay.
And what's a barbican?
Real quick, outer defensive work, tower, gate, or bridge. I can show you a quick
I mean,
picture.
that's a pretty wide gambit of things it could be. it could be a car, or maybe a cart, or a motorcycle, or.
So here's what I was thinking originally. This one's an actual medieval one, but it's an outer structure or a kind of a fortress. And you know, you've seen this for sure.
So it's like a janitor's closet outside of the keep. It's just an additional building that must have served some defensive purpose.
So you can see, like, you know, it's the first layer of defense, you know, which does lead to, you know, like how you would overcome this really is only through siege at this point. Maybe, you know, the cannons are starting to come around, They'll become really popular in the 13th, 14th century.
If Assassin's Creed has taught me anything, you can just hop up those fuckers.
Yeah.
You just find the right place, you start doing some sweet ass parkour, be up that fucker in no time.
What they would do a lot is sapping, actually. So instead of going above, you go under.
Oh, mole men strategy. That's yeah. I wouldn't think that would be easier, but I guess if you have all the time,
No.
if you've got time, yeah,
Yes,
just
and
go.
sacrificable soldiers, right?
Sure. I
Because
still think you could do that by trying to send them up and over,
that's true.
but yeah. If only they had invented ladders.
They have them, but when you're underground, you can't, nobody can hear you. And your guys, you lose one or two guys, but you bring down the whole wall and it's a fair fight,
Okay,
You try
sure.
to go up and over, you're gonna lose a bunch of people,
Okay, so the strategy would have been in old sieges to just collapse a wall and then just charge in. Yeah,
It
that
was a strategy. The
sure.
number one was and there are historical reports of people like competing sappers, right? So people were trying to find the sappers too.
Okay,
Like there's
sure.
other groups of miners trying to get to you first. That was
Underground
crazy.
wars. Just
Mole people wars.
the wall breaking down and a bunch of other sappers coming out with
Insanity.
weapons. Fucking
Insanity.
cool.
And gunpowder mixed in at certain points in history too. So these things would inadvertently explode and give away your location,
So you're telling me the Battle of Helm's Deep was actually a documentary?
Yes, 100%. The other way, the more common way, was to starve them out, right? You
Sure,
could cut
sure.
off your whoever's in the city. So whoever runs out of supplies first, your
Okay, sure.
reinforcements arrive and you get saved by people coming to rescue you, your friends that you sent word to when you realize there's 10,000 people in the forest coming to get you.
Yeah, sure.
That moment, and then you would try to get as many things as you could inside. A lot of cities had little tunnels and escape ways. People bribed guards, like common people and stuff.
Oh, sure.
Tons of prostitution and stuff followed, and that's a whole episode on its own, but
I can imagine.
move.
I'm starting to imagine.
So,
So this is a very heavily fortified castle.
this one has a barbican and it faces the bay and made it stand against the sea that pounded at its foot. At the four corners of the castle wall, so there you go, which was made of great square solid stones, were four turrets, strong and handsome. The castle was finely situated and well arranged inside. Before the round gatehouse was a bridge built of stone and sand and lime, stretching across the water. The bridge was strong and high, with battlements all the way along. In the middle of it was another tower, and before it, a drawbridge designed and built to serve its special purpose. By day, it was a bridge, by night, a gate. The boy turned his hordes towards it.
So it's a sweet ass drawbridge.
It's a
I love it. We're gonna get a Holy Grail and a drawbridge in this. We're getting so many of the classics.
Dressed in a rich and deep-hued gown, a nobleman was strolling on the bridge. Up rode the boy. The noble, for appearance's sake, was holding a cane in his hand, and two boys had followed him, wearing no tunics or surcoats.
But they were wearing clothing, just
Yeah, it seems like they're just.
not wearing those specific things. That's a weird way to describe someone, you know? Hey, he wasn't wearing a jacket.
Or a shirt, a tunic. There's some debate here. They might, I don't know. It doesn't say they're bare-breasted, right?
Right.
But
I
that they're
think that
just
would have
not.
been noted. Yeah.
I don't
Okay.
know.
So
Story's weird.
it's a fancy pants dude with a scepter and two uncouth boys following him.
Yeah, possibly Topper.
So he's got a monocle in my mind, but you can do whatever you want in your brain, but he's got a monocle.
You can
Top hat
Epstein him.
too. Yeah.
The Welsh boy, meaning
The main character still doesn't have a fucking name.
you're right.
Yeah.
I wanted to stamp that, right? Was very mindful of what his mother had told him, for he gave the nobleman his greeting and said, "Sir, My mother taught me that, referring to his greeting. So, this guy's.
Sure. A little slow. He's the kid in class you don't want to hang out with.
You're so wrong. This is like that one show about that guy from The Big Bang Theory. Crap, the
Young
young Sheldon.
Sheldon. Sheldon.
Where everybody is applauding for really an asshole kid.
Yeah, sure. Just the worst. Yeah.
God bless you, dear brother, the nobleman replied, seeing from his words that he was a fool and a simpleton.
An accurate assessment. That the nobleman's actually he's coming around.
And where are you from? Where am I from? From the court of King Arthur. What have you been up to there? The king made me a knight. God send him good fortune. A knight? God save me. I thought he'd forgotten about such matters for the moment. I thought he had other things on his mind than making men knights. But tell me, brother, who gave you those arms? The king, he said, granted them to me. Did he indeed? How was that? And the boy told him, just as you heard in the story. This is the narrator coming in, and this is fantastic. To repeat it would be a bore and pointless. No story benefits from that. The nobleman questioned him further, asking him about his horsemanship.
He's got a point. Yeah, we've already heard that bit, so why repeat it? And yeah, because it hasn't been normalized just to yada 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 through parts of a story, you know?
They're like, we fucking were here. Why am I doing it? I run him up and down nicely, just like I did with the hunting horse I took from my mother's house. Oh, tell me more, dear friend. How do you manage with your arms? I know all about getting them on and off, the same way the lad did for me after I'd watched him strip the knight I killed. They're so light to wear, they're no trouble at all.
I mean, cool. Also, yet again, he runs into a dude who's just the best, the nicest guy, taking all the time in the world out of his day just to converse with a fucking, a simpleton in knight's armor.
By my life, that's good, the noble said. I'm glad of that. Now tell me, if you don't mind, what's brought you here? Sir, my mother told me to approach worthy men wherever I found them and to trust in what they said, for there was much to gain by heeding them. God bless her, the nobleman replied, for she gave you good advice. Have you anything else to tell me? Yes. What's that? Just one thing. Give me lodging tonight.
Big demands. I'm sure this guy's just gonna give him the fucking castle. And here's my wife, and I've got a few horses in the back. Have fun. Yeah, everyone's just been giving this kid everything he has wanted. It's a story with outside of one night, very little conflict.
Most gladly, said the nobleman.
Yep, they hear. Yep. Fucking. Yep.
Provided you grant me a favor which you'll greatly benefit from. What's that? Trust in your mother's advice and also in mine. In faith, said the boy, I promise you that. Dismount then. And the boy stepped down. One of the two boys who were there took his horse while the other disarmed him. That left him in his ridiculous outfit, in the ankle boots, and in the ill-made, ill-cut coat of deer hide that his mother had given him. Then they fitted the nobleman with the sharp steel spurs that the boy had bought. And he mounted the boy's horse, hung the shield from his neck by its strap, and took up the lance and said, Now learn the art of arms, my friend. Take note of how a lance should be held and a horse spurred and reined. Right? And you remember we talked
Okay.
about, spurs were a signal, but they were also essential to fighting, while moving both of your hands, right?
Sure, the modern form of fighting so that you could swing around a lance, a shield, keep your arms free.
Yeah,
Sure.
exactly. Then he unfurled the pennon
Yeah, I am vision dependent because, yep, that's
Not bad. So you've actually seen this. You've been to medieval times.
of course.
Remember how they had a ring with a little flag on it?
Yes, absolutely.
It's one of those at the end of a lance. So it's like a
Okay.
flag at the end of a lance. You may even have seen it. Let me see if I can see pennant on a lance. You've
Yeah,
seen this shape. Yeah.
it's a flag, looks usually multicolored, on the end of a lance. It also seems like spears sometimes get a pennant.
Pennon, Pennon.
Pennon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a flag. Great.
It's a flaggy
Wait,
flag.
so homie nobleman who is also a knight, he grabs the lance, has the boys put a flag on it as if,
I guess,
I don't really
yeah.
fuck with non-flagged lances. My lances, I need a little bit extra on there. I mean, you wear your drip however you want. I do things different.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, one of the important parts of the pennon was that it showed which side you were on, right? So it could show heraldry, you know, you're like, oh, that's a good flag. That's a bad
Sure,
flag.
sure, sure.
And I think, I don't know, this is kind of like a, you know, I mean, you nailed the thing. This guy's like, hey, let me show you how to use this shit, right? So he unfurled the pennon and showed the boy how a shield should be carried. This is interesting. Listen to this part. He made it hang a little forward until it touched the horse's neck, and he set the lance in its rest and spurred the horse on. It was worth 100 marks, that horse. None ever charged with more will, more speed, or more power. Remember how we talked about horses and what's to look for?
Yeah, sure.
I guess that's it. It was like will, speed, and power.
Is
You
it
know?
gonna listen to you and be cool? Is it gonna be
Right.
able to push through some people? Sure. And how fast it's a fucker? Yeah.
Yeah, those are what we had established. They were the charger, right? Destrier, those kinds of things. So the nobleman was highly skilled with shield and horse and lance, for he had learned the art from his boyhood, and everything he did filled the boy with delight. When he had finished his splendid mock combat before the boy, who had watched with rapt attention, the nobleman came back to him with his lance raised and asked him, "Well, friend, could you handle the lance and shield like that, and spur and guide the horse?" And straight away the boy replied that he did not wish to live a day longer or ever enjoy wealth if he did not know how to do these things. "My good dear friend," said the nobleman, "what a man can't do, he can learn to do if he's willing to work and apply himself. All skills require heart and toil and practice. With those three things, they can be learned. And you shouldn't be ashamed or blamed if you can't do what you've never done and have never seen others do."
What a good Yoda this dude has found. What a solid bit of just great advice. Good. Yeah. I agree with this nobleman.
Yeah, right. This is advice that's 100% relative, you know, relevant today, dude.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
like Shakespearean. It's just a core value that we haven't forgotten.
Yeah, and this is like 300 and some years earlier than Shakespeare. So
Hey.
then the nobleman told him to mount, and the boy began to carry the lance and shield as perfectly as if he had spent his life in tournaments and wars.
Okay, so he got an automatic level up. I want to. Okay, I was expecting a training sequence, another sweet training montage. No, he sees a dude do it once. And immediately the best there's ever been. The advice he just gave, pointless, because you, sir, are the chosen one. Okay, great. Good.
As perfectly as if he had ridden through every land in search of battle and adventure, for it came to him quite naturally, and with nature instructing him and his whole heart committed, he was bound to have no difficulty, not where nature and heart strove together.
I mean, that's this whole story. He hasn't had any difficulty yet. He got hit once by a knight.
And he immediately responded
Immediately
by
killed
killed
him.
him. Hit him in the head and blew his heart
Yep,
up.
simultaneously.
Yeah. He gave such a fine account of himself that the nobleman was greatly pleased, saying to himself that if the boy had spent his whole life working and engaged in arms, this would have still seemed a fine display.
Okay.
When the boy had done his turn, he came back to the nobleman with his lance raised, just as he had seen him do, and said, "Did I do well, sir? Do you think my effort will be worthwhile if I keep on trying? My eyes have never seen anything I've desired so much. I'd dearly love to know as much about it at all as you, my friend."
And this guy's staring back at him, just like jaw dropped, like he's beginning to believe.
"My friend," said the nobleman, "if you've set your heart on it, you will. You need have no fear of that." Three times the nobleman mounted, and three times taught him everything he could until he had taught him a good deal. And three, yeah, and three times he bade the boy do likewise. The final time he said to him, "If you met a knight and he struck you, what would you do?"
Well,
"I'd
throw a javelin in his fucking face. We've done this.
Yeah.
We cleared this part of the story.
I'd hit him back. And if your lance broke, well, then there's nothing else for it. I just lay into him with my fists." "No, you wouldn't, friend. What should I do then?" "Join combat with the sword." Then the nobleman plunged the lance bolt upright in the ground before him, eager to train the boy in the art of arms so that he could defend himself with the sword if he were attacked, and go on the offensive if the chance arose. Gripping the sword, he said to the boy, "Friend, this is how to defend yourself if anyone attacks you." "God save me," said the boy. "I know more about that than anyone. I learned all about it at my mother's house, practicing with cushions and shields till often I was quite worn out."
Yeah, he's. I mean, there's not a lot going on up there. I'm glad he's so naturally good at everything, because if he actually tried at it, he probably wouldn't have the wherewithal or the capacity to really maintain much information.
Oh,
I
yeah.
also like how the nobleman has. Just what was he off to before this kid showed up? Like, he has nothing better to do. He was just standing there like, boy, I really wish there was, oh, you know, just a child I could train in the art of war.
In roughly, this is like a minute, right? He rode the horse three times. Like, I don't. And right, yeah, go ahead.
They're doing this in the amount of time it would take to have a picnic.
Yeah.
Sure. It's a picnic length of training. Yep.
And he's just like, "Hey, we should train. I should show you how to use a sword, right?" And the guy's like, "Oh man, I know all about that. I practice with cushions from my mom's house, right?" And this is a response, right? "Then let's go to my house at once," said the nobleman. "I can give you no better advice."
Okay,
You did it. You did it. Yeah.
now he's trolling him. Now
Yeah.
he's like, all right, man. I mean, shit, if you say so,
Yeah. "Tonight, we'll enjoy the finest lodging. No one shall stand in our way." They both set off then side by side, and the boy said to his host, "Sir, my mother taught me that I should never share a man's company for long without knowing his name." "That's what she said, so I'd like to know yours." "Dear friend," the nobleman replied, "my name is Gournemon de Gorhart."
Oh, that's nice. That's fancy.
Yeah.
A couple of gores in there.
Yeah, I think it'd be Du. Gournemon du Gorhart. So pretty sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good
I looked
name.
it
It's a
up, by
quality
the
name.
way. Oh, fuck, man. There's this Canadian author. I won't mention his name, but he has Gorhart as a Gorhart, right? It looks like Gorhaut, which is a very German spelling. So part of me makes me wonder if it's like a, like he's from like a made up shit that's Germanic,
Yeah,
But there's
sure.
this guy in 1990s that wrote this fucking book that's like a mystical kingdom. In his book, it's like a fantasy
Okay.
bullshit. It's a
Okay.
Anyway, there's an
Sure,
opposing
sure.
one that has the book's title in it, and it's nothing but like 30 Google pages of people ranting about this fucking book. So I tried. I couldn't find anything. And anything I found about this on any kind of like, total nerd based people's like fucking WordPress sites and stuff, right? It links back to this story
Oh, okay,
or
cool.
this author. So,
Sure.
Chretien Detroit.
So
So
there's a
Brian.
good chance he was, he's just a fake guy
He's
or
just,
based on
yeah,
someone. Yeah.
exactly. That this motherfucker wrote in, and he's like, yeah, remember Iron Man's brother, girlfriend?
Yeah,
Yeah,
sure.
that's this guy. Or he was really popular and he just didn't survive the test of time. I don't know. Anyway, so they walked onto the castle hand in hand.
Ah, dude. Medieval culture was so progressive. I mean, I love this. Public displays of manly friendship, the best. We should go back to that. I'd love to trot
Yeah.
down. Yeah, today I was
Yeah,
walking
I
with a man and I thought to myself,
don't know.
I would love to hold your hand right now as just a we're walking side by side anyway. What the fuck are we doing with these hands? We should.
Yeah. James will do that every now and again.
It's a good move.
It's
That's
a
solid.
good move, and he'll smile at you. But he won't let go. Grip like fucking like Dolph Lundgren, dude. So anyway, hand in hand, as they began to climb the steps, a young lad came up eagerly, carrying a short mantle. He ran and dressed the boy in it, in case he caught some harmful cold after getting so hot.
But is this young boy that's running up, is this boy in a tunic? One must assume, since the others weren't in tunics and were talked about pretty they were given a detailed description.
They were. And apparently it's cold, or he's gonna catch cold after sweating, I guess, from working out. I don't know. There's something there about medieval balance. People thought that if you got too hot, like that was bad. You wanted to find balance in all things, like, and they had a
Okay.
whole system of health. So maybe there's something in there, but anyway, the nobleman's house was rich and great and handsome, and he had fine retainers, and dinner was already spread, good and appealing and well prepared. And so
Oh,
the knights,
what's a retainer?
oh, good, yeah. Literally somebody whose services are retained.
Okay.
They're hired people. It's a name that's given to people who are servants. They could come from a number of places, displaced kingdoms, that kind of stuff. But they're like your servants. They'll fight for you.
Cool. So they're fighty
Followers.
servants.
Oh
Yeah, sure.
yeah. You can hire retainers. Conscripts was another one. Conscriptos, right? Like, so they have a paper, an agreement.
Oh,
Sometimes
okay.
here's the thing too. Like, wildly vacillated throughout history. Like, whether they're forced, prisoners of war.
Sure,
Captured
sure.
people, right? Who it's like, hey, you're going to serve me for 7 years. I'm retaining your service. And, you're not going to see your family or anybody for 7 years until you serve me, and I'm going to extend this forever,
Cool.
which could happen sometimes. Sometimes it was, again, people looking to get into the contracts to establish citizenship or some kind of status increase in some way or some
Okay,
kind of
so like
standing.
working your way through immigration.
Yeah, it had those connotations, you proved yourself in loyalty to some houses and then they'd accept you as one of yours. You'd get their name and stuff, we'd give you a last name, before you're just Jan. Now
Sure,
you're
sure.
Jan
I
of
could go work for the
the
Rockefellers
Rockefellers.
and
What's funny is that's the
sure.
first name I thought of too. Oh my God.
One
Wild.
of those bastards just died, so maybe that's why we're
Oh, yeah, it's in the
zeitgeist.
zeitgeist. Yeah. And so the knights washed and sat down to dine. The nobleman seated the boy next to him and had him eat with him from the same platter.
Oh, bitch, oof. These guys are having such a meet cute, right?
Yeah.
They already got past the physical touch thing. They're now sharing a plate. Oh, this is a
Have you ever shared a plate, like a one plate, with a person
I
doing
mean,
that?
Ethiopian food,
I
you're kind of
guess.
like
But you
sharing one
like,
big communal thing. It, like, it's the closest thing I can think of.
That's fair. Do you want to know more about the meal?
I have a feeling they're gonna tell me.
And the author writes, I shall say no more about the meal.
Okay.
I kind of set you up for that one.
Yeah, you did, but also just the fact that, you know, they ate fancy stuff off the same plate, like you do. I won't bore you with the details like other boring writers would. No.
Neither how many dishes they had nor what they were. Suffice it to say, they ate and drank their fill. And when they had risen from the table, the nobleman, courteous soul that he was, begged the boy who sat beside him to stay for a month.
Okay, fuck.
He would gladly keep him a full year if he wished.
This guy just gets set up with all these sick, like, you know, sick situations. I have to pay an outrageous amount in LA every damn month. This kid's being set up by just walking in. You got moxie, kid. Here's a year's worth of you know, meals and being a fancy person. And in a modern story, he would have stayed at that castle for a year and learned the craft of knighthood, right? Because I got a feeling he's gonna say, dude, you know, I'm gonna go ace this story like I've been doing up until now. But yeah, he got all the training he needed in, like, you know, an afternoon.
The nobleman said in that time they would teach him things, if he cared to learn, which would be of great use in time of need.
Yep.
But the boy replied, "Sir, I don't know if I'm near the house where my mother lives, but I pray that God may lead me to her so that I may see her again. For I saw her faint and fall at the foot of the bridge outside of our gate, and I don't know if she's alive or dead. She fainted with grief because I left her, I know it. So I can't stay, not until I know how she is."
You haven't fucking cared about anything or anyone up until now. Now's when you decide, right now. All right, dude. Fuck.
The nobleman could see it was no use pleading with them. They said no more and retired to their rest without another word, for the beds were already made. The nobleman rose early next morning and went to the boy's bed, where he found him still lying, and had his shirt and breeches of fine linen brought to him as a gift, and hose dyed with Brazil wood, and a tunic of violet silk, woven and made in India. He sent them,
Ooh.
but there is something there that, like, people were aware.
Oh, sure. And that there was enough trade going that that fabric from India could be not a commonplace, but looking for a word for fancy. Sought after material.
Exotic is a good word.
Exotic.
Exotic.
There we go. That it was exotic, but there.
He sent him all these things to wear and said to him, "If you'll take my advice, friend, you'll wear these clothes here." "Good sir, how can you say that? Aren't my clothes my mother made me twice as good? You'd have me wear these? By my life and the eyes in my head, boy, these are far better." "Far worse, you mean. You promised, friend, when I brought you here, that you'd do everything I told you." "And so I will," said the boy. "I won't break my promise to you in any way." So he delayed no longer in donning the clothes and abandoned the ones his mother had made.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh man, you care about your mom one moment, you don't give a shit the next. You gotta at least hold on to him, right? That way when you get back to when you see her again, you can toss it on, you know? It's like a shitty sweater you get for Christmas. You gotta keep it around. Gotta keep it around.
Then the nobleman knelt down and fastened the boy's right spur, for it was the custom that whoever made a man a knight should put on a spur. There were a good number of other boys there, and all who could lend a hand to arm him. And the nobleman took the sword and girded it on the boy and kissed him and said that with the sword he had given him the highest order that God had created and ordained, the order of chivalry, which should always be clean of all wickedness.
Okay, great.
Yep, I guess.
Forcibly kissing a girl and then murdering a dude. Not wicked. No, this boy is real on the up and up.
Then he said, "Good brother, listen to me now. If you ever have to fight a knight, I want to say this. I beg you, if you gain the upper hand and he can no longer resist and has to beg for mercy, make sure that you grant it and do not kill him."
Okay, already failed at that one when I threw a javelin through a dude's head, but noted, noted.
Yeah, but that's an interesting thing too, you know, because this is where tournaments kind of come from.
Sure.
And it's true that in this age, it's much better to take a knight alive.
Okay, sure.
Because they're worth money.
So you can ransom them off. Okay.
Because that also, death comes with revenge.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Still kind of happens that
way.
Yeah.
People get white hot. And that's been since the, you know, and whole wars have been started because somebody's brother was killed in, you know, like a tournament or a knight's, you know, duel, you know, like.
Sure.
We get, you know, pissed at a party and I say, I'm tougher than you. And you say, the shit you are. And the swords come out and, you know.
And before you know it, someone's lost a head and has a revenge plot line on them.
Exactly. And that shit would happen all the fucking time. You know, so to curb it, those kinds of institutions were kind of built. And especially with nobles. And that's where like a tournament, you know, there's a place to work a violent nonviolence and some kind of consequence to it, you know, like, but you could capture people too and take them to you. And that's money, dude. You know?
Sure. I love how wars always had rules. That's good.
Insanity. Okay. So that's his advice. Don't kill them. Right.
Okay.
What advice would you give a knight, Jan? I mean, maybe we shouldn't spend long on this, but give me one. What's the next thing they should tell him? You know, this is a knight. He's telling him that he's getting ordained into the order of chivalry, literally.
Of chivalry.
Yeah.
Do right by others. Fight for the downtrodden.
Okay.
Be charitable with your deeds and actions.
Wow, you got three, man. You could write the rules of chivalry, Jan. I like this.
Sure.
So here's his rule, his next one. Another thing. Don't be too keen on talking.
I don't think the boy's going to do well there.
Nope.
He's been chatting up a storm with everyone he runs into, and it's been working out for him, so I don't blame him.
100%. And here's some good advice for anybody who podcasts. Anyone who talks too much is bound often to say things that make him look a fool.
Story of my life. Story of my life.
For in the words of the wise, he sins who speaks too much.
Okay. Yeah. I also do a lot of that. So.
Yep. Never heard that though.
Those two were hand in hand.
So I warn you, friend, not to have too loose a tongue. I ask this too. If you find a man or a woman or an orphan or a lady in any kind of distress, you'll do well. Yep.
Okay.
I'm that's glad a, you got that. Yep.
That's a list. I feel like woman and lady are a little
totally different.
Overlapping there, and then an orphan's thrown into the mix for no. All right, great.
Yeah, the orphan's so weird. Like, are they just all over? Which they might be. You'll do well to lend them your aid if it's in your power. And one more lesson I have for you, and don't scorn it, for it's not a lesson to be scorned. Go willingly to church to pray to the one who made all things. He may have mercy on your soul. And in this life here on earth, he may guard you as his Christian. The boy said to the nobleman, "May you be blessed by all the popes, good sir, for my mother said the same." "Never say, dear brother," said the nobleman, "that your mother taught you say such and such. Say it was I. I don't blame you for having said so hitherto, but henceforth, please refrain, for if you keep on saying it, people will think you're mad."
Oh, yeah, cool. So take great. Here's the real chivalry. Take credit for your mom's good upbringing. No, that's solid. That's some masculinity for you. Yeah, just take credit. It's fine.
What shall I say then, sir? You can say that the vassal who fastened your spur taught and instructed you so. Vassal, you know that one? Maybe a loose one. Yeah.
Guy who just based off of context clues, like the guy who trained you?
Not bad. In medieval Europe, a man who agreed to fight for a king or lord when needed in exchange for land to live on.
Okay. So kind of a knight, but more a down like a down on his luck knight. I just need a little land. I can throw a javelin through a dude's head.
Depends on the vassal. Like sometimes, yes, right? Sometimes you could subdivide the land. So if you were a really good vassal or a really rich vassal,
Ah,
yeah.
and the LA housing crisis emerges.
So then you
Okay,
get people
good.
to work the land and you can tax them, right? Like
Okay,
if you're getting taxed, yeah.
so chivalry includes slum lords. That's what I'm taking away from this.
Yes, in a way, absolutely. Because to be a knight in the first place, you would have to be a landowner, a vassal, you know, of some kind. So once you own land, then you enter into a whole different class because you collect rent on those lands, or you collect game, or whatever. You own that fucking land. You own everything on it, from sky to hell. You know, like that's a yeah.
Must be nice. Must be nice.
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah, for them, yeah, not bad until people came and tried to take your land and
Ah, but you got all the castle stuff for that.
yeah, that's true. And the boy gave him his word for that as long as he lived, he would not mention anyone but him, for he trusted his advice. Then the nobleman raised his hand and blessed him with the sign of the cross, saying, "Since you've no desire to stay and are determined to go, go with God and may he guide you." The new knight, which I guess is the kid, because he got dressed now. He's like
Yeah,
full
sure.
armor,
He's got Indian cloth on, yeah.
He's legit now, and he knows how to fight, right? Like, nah, he had three whole sessions.
He dumped $20 into the store and then bought a bunch of pretty sweet skins. And yeah, he's not looking like a fucking noob no more.
Nope. The new knight took his leave of his host, impatient now to return to his mother and to find her alive and well. He made his way into the lonely forest, for he was more at home there than in the open country, knowing the way of the woods, and he rode on until he caught sight of the castle. It was strong and finely situated, but outside the walls there was nothing but sea and river and wasteland. He hurried on towards it until he came up to the gate, but before he could reach it, he had to cross a bridge so weak that he thought it would hardly take his weight. The boy rode on to the little bridge and crossed it without any harm or misfortune befalling him. But when he reached the gate, he found it locked fast. He wasn't one to hammer gently, and his cries were none too soft. He pounded away until a thin, pale girl came rushing to the windows of the hall and cried, "Who's calling?" He looked up and caught sight of the girl and said, "Dear friend, I'm a knight who prays you to let me in and give me lodging tonight." "Sir," she said, "you shall have lodging, though you give me little thanks for it, but we'll lodge
God
you as well
damn
we
it.
can."
I thought this would be the time. This would, he's going up to a rotting ass building. Even the fucking bridge is rotting. And I'm expecting, like, there's no one alive in here. Oh no, we got lodging. Yeah, come on in. Here's a cool, like gem sword. When does he get the lightsaber? When does someone just give him, oh well, here's Thor's hammer?
Coming up next. The girl drew back from the window then, and the boy, waiting at the gate, felt they were making him stand around too long and began to shout again. Thereupon, four retainers came and unlocked the gate. Each had a fine sword girded on and was clutching an axe. "Come this
Okay.
way," they said to him. If these retainers had been in a happy state, they would have been handsome men indeed. but they had suffered so much from lack of food and sleep that they were a piteous sight. And just as the boy had found the land outside all bare and deserted, so he found precious little within. Everywhere he went, he found the streets waste and the houses in ruin, with not a man or woman anywhere. There were two churches in the town which had both been abbeys, one of nuns, lost and fearful, the other of monks, confused, bewildered. These churches were adorned neither with ornament nor tapestry. Their walls, he saw, were decayed and crumbling. Their towers.
He's really taken a full tour of this town. Like, he's not just riding by them. He's poking his head in. What's going on in here?
Yeah, it seems like he's going all over. And this seems a lot bigger than just a castle. I don't know what the fuck is
yeah,
in here.
No shit. Two abbeys?
Yeah.
most of the castles I know of have one at most.
You know what an abbey is?
Fancy church? A church?
Yeah, I'll take it. I've got so I took this definition from the Catholic website, right? It's like the Catholic Dictionary or something like that.
the Catholic Ooh. Web. Okay.
So I forget just how bureaucratic the Catholic Church is in a way. But they are masters of just bullshit, you know, like so good.
The hell you say? The Catholics?
So it says Abbey, a monastery canonically erected and autonomous within a community of not fewer than 12 religious monks under the government of an abbot, nuns under that of an abbess.
Okay. this is one of those where the word in that you're looking for the definition of appears in the definition. And it's like, okay, what's an abbot, right? And we could probably keep going until the answer is the reptilians.
Yep. An abbot is a religious official. It just straight. I'm
okay,
just gonna
so,
say that. And they'd be like the principal of the fucking.
So the second an abbot leaves an abbey, it becomes a church.
Yeah, or if you have fewer than 12 monks in it.
Okay, so at least we know. We know there's at least 12 nuns and 12 monks.
Right.
So they got at least 24 holy people inside of these two abbeys. At least they haven't lost that.
And I guess that resembles the apostles, right? With like a Jesus at the head, right? You need at least 12 dudes, right? 13. So, I don't know. So yeah, probably
sure.
Something linked to that. But anyway, okay. So I told you, let me read you a bit of this because this is insane. It goes on. Okay. That was the top part.
Okay. Sure.
And then I was like, okay. And then there's like an image and then it gives you this, but it's an autonomous priory. Okay. That's its own thing. Is ruled by a superior who bears the title of prior instead of that of abbot. But this distinction was unknown in the first centuries of monastic history. Such were the 12 great cathedral priories of England, immediately governed by a prior, the diocesan being considered the abbot. See, and at this point, I'm like,
we need to get rid of titles. Titles
fiction?
Suck.
What
yeah,
is this?
And it goes on.
Other priories are founded as cells. Oh, fuck. Or offshoots from the great abbeys and remain dependent on the parent house by where the abbot and the prior was appointed and was
I swear,
by
this,
will.
This is because everyone needs a fucking fancy title. So as the church gets bigger, they're just like, oh, you're an abbot and that dude's a prior and he's a pope and yeah.
I'm going to read you one more sentence because it'll hammer home the point you're making so well. Originally, the term monastery designated both in the East and the West, the dwelling either of a solitary of a community, while canobium, congregatio, fraternitas, a centurion, etc., were applied solely to the houses of communities.
I just can't. My brain doesn't map onto that in any a constructive way.
We're moving on. Okay, so 24, at least, religious people in this city. These churches were adorned neither with ornament nor tapestry.
Sure.
Their walls, he saw, were decayed and crumbling. Their towers open to the sky, and the doors of houses hung open at night as they did by day. No millstone ground, no oven baked in any part of the town. And there was not a drop of wine nor a morsel of bread, not a penny worth of anything.
So it's Detroit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, Flint,
Great.
Michigan. The castle he had found was waste. There was no bread, no pastry, no wine, no cider, no ale. The four retainers led him to a palace roofed with slate, and there they helped him dismount and disarm. Then a boy came down a staircase from the hall carrying a gray mantle and draped it on the knight's shoulders. Another took his horse to the stable, where there was no hay or corn and only the smallest amount of oats, for there was none in the house. The others bade him go before them up the steps to the hall, which was handsome indeed, and two noblemen and a girl came up to meet him. The noblemen were gray with age, but not altogether white. They would have been in the prime of blood and strength if it had not been for their troubles and woe. The girl who came with them was more gracious, comely, and elegant than a hawk or bird of paradise.
Whoa, goof, goof.
I
Okay.
always love when they do the animal comparisons. I know you hate it, but
I just can't, like, what about her is hawk-like? Unless she's a literal, like, bird person, D&D style, like, yeah, let's lay off describing people as fierce as a hawk. I'm really wondering why they even let the boy in if the town's looking like a plague town, right? Like,
I'm with you, but I don't know, but to me, the thing I take away from it, right, is that in this day and age, there's absolutely no, like most people aren't even literate at this point. And the average person is much more in tune with nature, like just in general.
true.
Towns and cities are not heavily populated the way that's one of the defining movements of the Renaissance, right? Is like the urbanization, industrialization, we start to get mechanization, all those things that necessitate city life, right? But in this point, it's just different, and people have a lot of time to just bond with nature in a way. And so I think those comparisons are comparisons that don't hit for us. Because we see them as foreign and not a part of us in some way,
Sure, I guess I look at animals and don't want to fuck them. So, yeah.
Or think of them as sexy in that way,
Yeah,
like,
right.
or aspects of them as being sexy. I don't have
I guess a
it's a
hawk's a
hard
pretty sexy bird. I will give it that.
Yeah, and I don't know what the connotative payoff is, or if that's a pun that exists in the day and they're called, because I know in England they are sometimes
Oh,
girls
sure.
are called birds, right?
Bird,
Like, yeah.
sure.
So,
All right.
like that's what I'm saying. Like,
I guess
there's a vestige of it,
if you put a Ringo accent to it, it would be a lot more.
That's good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, her mantle and tunic, let's talk about our clothes instead, huh? Were of a rich black cloth starred with gold, and there was no sign of wear on the ermine lining. And you remember the ermine stuff? That's the Dalmatian-y kind
Yeah,
of.
sure. It's like a little cape for your shoulders.
the neck of her gown had a border of black and white sable of a perfect length and breadth. And if I have ever described the beauty God placed in the body or the face of a woman, I must do so once more, and not one word shall be a lie. Her head was bare, and her hair was so fair and shining that anyone who saw it would have thought it was all pure gold, if such a thing were possible. Her forehead was high and white and smooth, as if it had been carved by a man's hand from stone or wood or ivory. Her eyebrows were fine and perfectly spaced, and her eye,
Oh,
yeah.
that's where we're dialing into them. That sexy eyebrow gap. Ooh.
Do you know how much money women spend on eyebrows, or how much time, dude? Like
I
that
tan
part.
I I'm tangentially aware. It's just rarely a thing I ever hear described.
Yeah, but that part, imagine a day where there's no clippers or trimmers or any, you know, like,
Sure, where hygiene's sure. Where it's just looking like a minefield up there. Yeah, sure.
totally, you know. I don't know. Anyway, her eyes were, but you know, it's also something that we care about today, is my point, in a way. Like, it's not like, you know, it's a big business, the whole eyebrow thing, you know.
Sure.
Sometimes when my shit gets long, I get self-conscious, you know. I got those like little things that curl
You
down. I
know,
feel like a professor,
I've been
you know.
meaning to tell you.
Let's do it.
That eyebrow gap just
See? See? Yeah.
isn't living up to the Losada name.
I'm gonna get lasered. Her eyebrows were fine and perfectly spaced, and her eyes were bright and laughing, clear and well set. Her nose was straight and smooth. Yeah,
Okay.
that one I can't justify, man. That
I
one I don't
mean,
know. Yeah.
a
It's
lot
not
of it,
crooked. She's not like
I
a bare
can't.
knuckle
Yeah,
boxer.
it's taken me a lot to envision this person, but yeah, it's a lot of angles.
And in her face, the red and white made a finer blend than red and silver in heraldry. God had made her in a prodigy for stealing men's hearts. He had never made her like before and has never done so since.
Dang. I guess because we just kept calling her a girl, I was placing her a lot younger until now, but I got a feeling that the narrator wants me to find her attractive, so I'm having to like retool that vision in my head. So.
Yeah, I think he's saying she's a woman like her has never been made before and will never be made again. Yeah.
How poetic.
Yep.
Are we about to meet the narrator's wife?
Let's find out. When the knight saw her, he greeted her. Remember, the narrator is actually different from the knight,
Oh yes,
right?
I'm yes. Of that I'm at least aware.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. The narrator's kind of thirsting after this
Yeah, it
lady.
seems like he's thirstier than, well, the boy's about to
Maybe.
do some unspeakable things, no doubt.
If he's a really good writer, he'll name it after his patron's wife.
Okay,
Yeah.
right. That way you get a little tip on the back end. Yeah.
Exactly. When the knight saw her, he greeted her, and she greeted him, as did the two knights with her. She took him by the hand most courteously and said, "Good sir, your lodging tonight will certainly not be such as befits a worthy man. If I told you now the full extent of our plight, you might well think I was saying it in a base attempt to make you go. But come now, please, and take lodging such as it is, and may God give you better tomorrow." And she led him by the hand to a chamber with a painted ceiling, long and wide and beautiful. They sat down together on a quilt of a samite spread across a bed. And samite is a pattern, some. Let me show you. It's a rich silk fabric interwoven with gold and silver threads. It's used for dressmaking and decoration in the Middle Ages. So it's
Okay.
pretty rich. We had the table, samite spread across the bed. Knights entered in groups of four and five and six and sat down quietly and gazed at the one who was sitting beside their lady, not saying a word. He was refraining from talking because he remembered the advice that the nobleman had given him. And all the knights began whispering to each other about his silence. "God," they all said, "I wonder if this knight is dumb."
Yeah, the good intuition, my guys. Good intuition.
Yeah, right. Thread. It would be a great shame, for never was such a handsome knight born of woman. He looks so well beside my lady and my lady beside him. If only they weren't both struck dumb. He's so handsome and she's so beautiful that never were a knight and a lady so well matched. They look as though God made them for each other and meant to put them together.
I
Whoa. Yeah.
great star-crossed lovers. Great.
All those present discussed this for a long while. And the girl waited for him to talk to her about something or other until she clearly realized that he was not going to say a word unless she spoke to him first. So she said, most courteously, "Where have you come from today, sir?" "Young lady," he replied, "I stayed last night at the castle of a nobleman where I had good fine lodging. It had five strong and splendid towers, one big and four small. I could describe it all to you, but I don't know the name of the castle, though I do know that the worthy man's name was Gournemond de Gorhat. Oh, dear friend, cried the girl, your words are fine indeed. You've spoken most courteously. May God the king reward you well for calling him a worthy man, for you never said a truer word. He is indeed a worthy man by Saint Richier. I can testify to that. So I looked up this guy, Saint Richier, a son of Rudolph, who we're not going to go into, a trusted counselor and captain, captain yeah, of Louis the Fourth of France. They stay at Reims under Ybrault. Some pope taught math, history, letters, and eloquence. I don't know what that is.
I'm adding that to my yeah. Resume. An instructor of eloquence.
Yeah. So, well versed in the medical sciences of his time.
So he could bleed you. Great.
Apparently, he was still living in 998, and there is no mention of him whatsoever after that date.
Okay. So we got a good feeling he died sometime after that.
Vampire. Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
He is
still
Keanu
amongst
Reeves.
Us. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We got the dumb knight part. We got this guy, Sir Saint Richter. I can testify to that. I'm his niece, you know.
Okay. So,
she is, what's it called? Gornamon de Gorhart's niece.
Niece. Okay, great. You could have probably led with that. You
I know, right?
Led yeah. with that, but it's fine.
You know, but I haven't seen him for a very long time. But certainly since you left your home, you won't have met a worthier man. I'm sure of that. He'll have given you delightful lodging, being the worthy and courteous soul he is, and powerful too, and well-served and rich. Okay, lady.
Okay.
Slow
yeah.
down. Yeah. But here there are only 5 small loaves, which an uncle of mine who is a prior
hey that Catholic hierarchy coming back into the chat.
So a prior is somebody who runs a priory,
which is like an abbot,
which is like an abbey, an abbey but different because things
because he needs 24 to unlock that level of God. Great.
I hate the church at
yep.
this point.
Yeah.
And probably mostly today. A most holy and religious man sent me for supper tonight and a small cask of sour wine. There's no other food here except a roebuck, and that one of my retainers killed this morning with an arrow. A roebuck, are you familiar? Roe? R-O-E?
The buck makes me think it's of the deer family.
Yeah, you nailed it. So roe is a type of deer. It's common in England and Europe at this point. And France, clearly.
Right? Yeah, sure.
So they are pretty they breed really fast, smaller deer. And yeah, they're a great source of meat. You can make, you know, steaks out of them, back straps, apparently phenomenal. So
okay. Anyway.
She gave orders then for the tables to be set. Her bidding was done, and everyone sat down to supper. They did not sit there eating long, but the food was taken eagerly. When they had finished, they parted. Those who had kept watch the night before stayed there to sleep, and those who were on guard that night made ready. 50 retainers and knights kept watch that night, while the others did everything they could to make their guests comfortable. The one who took charge of making his bed laid out white sheets and a costly coverlet and a fine pillow for his head. So he's got like the full bed, which in these
this
days...
This guy is just... He is getting... He's speed running knighthood. I have a feeling he's about to speed run marriage, based upon homegirl's description, and he's just getting the best of every a fucking dying city where just every they can't even keep a population there. Oh, but you get all the nice stuff, don't you worry. You get a nice bed.
That night, the boy had all the comfort and pleasures one can imagine in a bed. And this is where it gets a little weird.
I can imagine a lot of comforts and pleasures. Me and Benz, we fuck.
Except for the enjoyment of a girl.
Okay, well, there's a, that, does it say girl specifically?
Yes.
So that leaves a door open, my friend. There's a whole multicolored world of fun that can be had in that under those confines. So
if that had been his wish, or a lady if that had been allowed.
Wait, Is a lady a
I don't know what the fuck's going on here, dude.
okay, because yeah, I didn't, I guess I didn't like a lady of the night is not what I was thinking when they were saying lady, but all right.
Yeah, I don't. I think the idea is like maidenhood is probably involved in some way. I don't, like I said, this was originally a French
And
text, so
it's all some, there's probably some hierarchical
there definitely
bullshit in
is.
that. Yeah.
And it's like if it's a lady, it's somebody who has already been married, maybe. I don't know, And at this point, I'd have to look into what women politics are like and how much autonomy they had,
I've got
but.
a I'll probably take I'll take the expertise here. Female politics, not chill. 100% not chill.
And so here's the next line anyway. I guess it doesn't matter, but he knew nothing about love or anything else and fell asleep quite soon,
Truer words.
untroubled.
Truer words have never been said. And
Yep.
yeah, this little asshole has nothing to be troubled about.
Yep.
He's
And
just
literally
speed running this shit.
says untroubled by any worries.
Any, yeah.
He's just out. Yep.
He is just facing a pillow. Yeah. Okay, good.
But his hostess, shut up in her chamber, could get no rest. While he slept at ease,
Oh.
yeah, she was burdened with thought, for she had no defense in a battle that threatened her. She tossed and turned back and forth. Then finally, she threw a mantle of silk over her shirt, deciding in her bold courage to take the risk. And it was no easy decision. She would go to her guest and tell him of her worries. So she rose from her bed and left her chamber in such fear that she trembled in every limb and broke into a sweat. Weeping, she came to the bed where he lay sleeping and began to grieve and sigh most deeply, and bent down and knelt and wept so much that her tears spilt all over his face. But she could not bring herself to do any more. She wept so long that he woke up, startled and amazed to find his face all wet, and saw her kneeling beside his bed,
Cried him awake.
embracing him
She
tightly
fucking
around the neck.
cried him awake.
Yep.
Woof. Woof. She had to have, she's either just projectile shooting tears off of her
Yeah,
face,
just
or she was over him for like 15 minutes.
right. Yeah. And this guy's not what I don't know. Yeah. He was courteous enough to take her in his arms and draw her to him, saying, "What do you want, dear girl? Why have you come here? Oh, gentle knight, have pity on me. In the name of God and his son, please don't think ill of me for coming here. Although I'm almost naked, I had no thought of folly, of sin, or wickedness."
Hey, this story's getting a lot more French by the sentence. All right.
Hey, there is no one living in the world as filled with grief and misery as I. Nothing I have brings me any comfort, and I haven't had a day free of misfortune, so wretched am I. But I shall see no night after tonight, nor any day after tomorrow, for I'm going to kill myself with my own hand.
Jesus Christ. Red flag alert. Oh boy. For the first time, I feel bad for our main character. Just like, oh, I also feel bad for her, clearly. But yeah.
Yeah, and plus 0 to 100,
Yeah,
dude.
no shit. No
Like,
shit.
what the fuck is happening? Of 310 knights who used to man this castle, only 50 now remain, for 260 had been led away and killed or imprisoned by an evil knight named Enguerrand.
That's a pretty cool evil knight name, Ingigeron.
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. I'm probably fucking it up, and people are going to correct me, and that's fine.
It's
But
fine.
it's
Correct away.
Enguerrand.
Still,
And he
Ingigeron.
it might be Guilleron. And Guilleron, which is still pretty
Yeah,
cool. Yeah.
I'm still gonna go with Ingigeron.
Yeah.
He sounds like he has an arm that's made out of like a steampunk, like, clockwork thing. Also super specific that it's 260 people.
Yeah,
That's
right? Yeah.
a detail that, yeah, that's a some very exact language for a thing you couldn't possibly know.
But that gives you an idea that that's like considered a pretty good amount of men.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I
when we're
mean, it
talking
is still
about,
today.
if you can get 300 dudes together to raid something, pretty good.
Yeah, sure.
You did a thing.
That's rounding up, but yeah.
Well, okay. She has, it said originally, what, 350?
Okay, sure.
So Rich, see, well, there is now unlimited misfortune. 310 knights.
Okay,
Okay, yeah,
okay,
that's what she
okay.
had originally. Okay. And then she says, Enguerrand, the seneschal, and we talked about that word before. Do you remember what it means, the seneschal?
No.
It's like a leader of the household.
Okay, sure.
So I'm trying to think if there's you know, like whoever runs the White House, it has to have some power.
Not the
Like the
president, or
no. I'm
just
talking about like the day-to-day operations with the staffers and everything on the
sure.
White House, the groundkeeper, all that. Joe Biden didn't fucking do any of
The
that,
assistant director of the White House.
I
Yeah,
guess. Yeah,
sure.
yeah. You know, but that power, that person has some real power. You know, they can fuck your life up if they wanted to.
Sure, if they wanted to. Sure.
Anyway, it's a seneschal of Clamadius of the Isles.
Okay.
So again, no idea. Clamadius though sounds dope.
Yeah,
Yeah.
did.
Isles though, I can tell you about that. You know, so where do you think they're from?
England?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay,
Clamadius, interesting name because it's kind of like Romanized.
hey. Yeah, sure. I thought it was a little, it had a ring of perhaps a part of history that has more antiquity to it, you know.
So that's literally when the Romans pull out of Europe. That's the Middle Ages, you know.
Okay,
So
sure.
sometimes they give people, you know, even giants. Sometimes the Romans are called giants. So I grieve as much for the captured as for the killed. I know they'll die. They'll never escape. So many worthy men have died for me that it's only right I should despair. And Gieron has besieged us here for a whole winter and summer, never moving, and his strength increases constantly, while ours has diminished and our provisions have been exhausted. We've not enough left to feed even one man properly. We're now in such a
Yet
plight.
this boy gets a meal and a bed and a crying fucking depressed girl. Great.
And I told you this is the number one way to kill a castle. Start
Yeah,
them out.
sure. Starve them out. Yeah, yeah.
Surround it and just cut them off. And then it's a waiting game. You know, who's got more supplies? Who's got more money?
Yeah, sure.
Or who's got friends coming, right?
Sure. And who
You're
can keep this ball juggling longer? Yeah.
exactly. Yeah, if you're defending, you're trying to get your friends there because, you know, you're trying to pincher them, right? If you're attacking, you're trying to get your friends there so you can fuck up a castle.
Sure.
We're now in such a plight that tomorrow, unless God intervenes, this castle will be surrendered, for it's no longer defensible, and I shall be surrendered with it as a miserable prisoner. Remember, I told you prisoners, dude, you
Yeah,
want them.
sure.
But truly, I'll kill myself before he leaves me off alive. He'll have me dead. Then I shan't care if he carries me off. Clamadius, who dreams of having me, never will in any way, except bereft of life and soul in a jewel case of mine. I keep a knife for the finest steel, which I shall bury in my heart. That's what I had to tell you. I'll go now and leave you in peace.
Okay, so you just woke me up to cry all over my face and then tell me about this place's shit past. Cool. I mean, at least we got the lowdown on it, right? Up until now, I had some questions about why this is the only not best place ever that this kid has visited. Great, good.
Yeah, bit of trauma dumping, but I
Oh,
get it.
the whole fucking thing was trauma dumping.
Yeah, I get it. You know, the knight could soon earn great praise if he had the courage. For whatever she may have given him to understand, the only reason she had come and wept on his cheeks was to put him in the spirit to take up the battle to defend her land if he dared to do so for her. And he said to her, "Dear friend,
God, off to a good start.
Put on a brave face tonight. Take comfort now and stop your weeping.
Always works. Every time I've, anytime any of my partners are just weeping, just stop. Stop it.
Come up here beside me and wipe the tears from your eyes. If it be God's will, he'll send you better fortune tomorrow than you say. Come and lie beside me on this bed. It's wide enough for both of us. You shan't leave me tonight.
Okay. Kind of gets threatening there at the end. A little bit of a threat, but oh boy. Again, speed running this adventure. He is just great. Because I'm sure she's going to fall into his arms and we're off to that. Great. Great.
And she said, I will then if you wish.
Yep. Yep. Great. Yeah,
tracks.
I've dated this girl. phone call at 1:30 a.m. weeping. And yeah, no, I've done this adventure.
And he kissed her and held her fast in his arms and drew her gently and softly under the coverlet. She let him kiss her. And I don't think it displeased her.
First time in this story. First time so far. Cool.
I like that the narrator intervenes and says, I don't think it displeased her.
Yeah, hopefully that's just kind of romantic language. I don't know.
They lay like this all night, side by side, lip to lip, until the morning when day was near. She found great comfort that night as they slept lip to lip, arm in arm, until day broke. At dawn, the girl returned to her chamber, and without the help of a maid or waiting woman, she dressed and made herself ready, waking no one. What a harlot.
I mean, listen, girls got to have fun. Mentally challenged knight showed up last night. I mean,
as soon as they saw the daybreak, those who had been keeping watch that night woke the sleepers. Rousing them from their beds, they rose without delay. At the same time, the girl returned to her knight and said to him most courteously, Sir, may God give you a good day today. I don't think you'll be staying here long. What would you gain by doing so? You'll leave, I know, but I don't object to that. I'd be discourteous if I did, for we've done you no honor or service here. Okay.
I mean, he's had a pretty chill stay.
He's had
especially considering
stay.
Your condition.
Right, right. And how did he not hit the siege on his way in? Did he not notice that this castle?
You know, I thought the
siege?
Same thing. Yeah, I just didn't bring it up that, okay, if there's a siege happening, no one in, no one out, this boy just do and just finds
he's just
his
knocking on the door until people let him in. And people are like, yeah, okay.
I wonder if anyone in their army tried that.
Right.
Just why not try that? Just try knocking.
We've done you no honor or service here. I pray God that he may have better lodging in store for you with more bread and wine and other good things than there are here. Dear lady, he replied, I shan't be looking for other lodgings today. I'll be bringing peace to all your land instead if I possibly can. If I find your enemy outside, it'll grieve me if he stays there longer to harass you in any way. But if I kill and vanquish him, I ask as my reward that your love may be mine. I'll take no other payment.
Sounds very medieval.
Yep. Women are definitely just objects. And she answered him most graciously, Sir, you've asked of me a small, poor thing, but if it were denied you, you'd take it as pride, so I won't refuse it. But don't say that the condition of having my love is that you go and die for me, for that would be a grievous shame. Be sure of this, your body and your age are not such that you could endure and contain in battle so hard and strong and great a knight as the one who waits outside. Oh, so there's like a real badass. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that one guy. What's his name here? Angirion or Angigeron, however you want.
Yeah, sure. Angigeron.
Yeah, that sounds cool. That sounds like a transformer.
That's what I'm saying, dude. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Let's see. Take no other payment. Be sure this is the one who waits outside. You'll see if that's so today, he said, for I'm going to fight with him. Nothing you can say will stop me. She fashioned her speech cleverly, pretending to plead against his plan when it was just what she wanted. So she's smart.
He's being a little manipulative. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
One often belies one's wishes on seeing a man eager to do one's will so as to fire his keenness even more. And that was what she did so skillfully, inspiring him to do what she staunchly deplored. So she's really good at getting him to do what she didn't want to do.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
He called for his arms. They were brought to him. And he was armed and mounted on a horse that was ready for him in the middle of the square. Everyone present looked dismayed and said, "Sir, may God lend you end today and heap misfortune upon Enguerrand or Enguigerrand, the seneschal who has destroyed all this land." So, Jan, what do we think is going to happen here, man?
Okay. He's if this story has taught me anything, he is going to rush out, meet one of the knights in the siege, and they're gonna be like, "Hey man, do you want like a comfy bed and a wife?" And he's gonna be like, "Fuck yeah, I do." And then no conflict will happen. Maybe someone will hit him with the bra, lightly tap him on the wrist and he'll throw a javelin or use some of his new fucking knight skills, but nothing I expect to happen happened. Is this when the dragon attack happens? Tell me it's when the dragon shows up. I want
Oh
all.
man, Fusro da were the next words out of his mouth. No, such was the prayer of every man and woman. They led him to a convoy at the gate, and when they saw him outside the castle, they all cried with one voice, "Good sir, may the true cross on which God allowed his son to suffer guard you today from mortal danger and misfortune and capture, and lead you back safely to where you may rest at ease and happiness and pleasure."
There is absolutely 100% no way everyone spoke that in unison. There is absolutely no. If it was just God be with you, sure, great. That's a thing that a core, an entire city of people. It's hard to gauge how many folk are in there because at some points it's barren. At some points there's 40 retainers. No fucking way they said all that in unison. That crowd started getting thinner and thinner by the end of that sentence, you know?
Yes, apparently, in such words, everyone prayed for him. Then the men of the besieging army saw him coming. They pointed him out to Enguerrand and Gigeron,
Yeah.
who was sitting in front of his tent, shoes and breeches ready laced, expecting that the castle would be surrendered to him before nightfall, or that someone would come from the castle to fight with him in single combat. And his men were in high spirits, thinking they had conquered the castle and the whole country. And Gigeron, mounted on a strong and sturdy charger, came calmly up to the knight at a walk and said, "Boy, who sent you here? Tell me your business. Have you come in search of peace or battle?" "What are you all doing in this land?" replied the boy.
Oh, Jesus Christ, my God. Oh, that's not your opening. That's the thing the noble didn't teach him.
Yeah.
He
An
learned
ounce of
all
cool.
an ounce of just show up and say something, a last action line.
Yeah.
You see this lance? It's for you.
Right.
Something. Give me something.
I am not battle. I am death. Die,
Amen. Yeah.
charge, dude. Go
Yeah,
for it.
exactly. Yeah.
You'll tell me first why you've been killing their knights and ravaging the whole country. And Enguerrand answered, like the haughty and arrogant man he was, "I want the castle cleared forthwith and the keep surrendered. It's been held against me too long, and my lord will have the girl." "Damn that decree and the one who uttered it," cried the boy. "You'll renounce every claim you've made upon it." What nonsense is this you're talking about by St. Peter, cried Enguigaron. It's often the way that one who's not to blame pays the penalty. I don't really know what that means, but
yeah, but he's at least bamfing like an anime villain should. He's just saying, all right, solid villain.
Yeah, it's often the way that one who's not to blame pays the penalty. So I think he's saying, you know, why are you even bringing this up, right? I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah, okay, sure.
The boy was incensed at that and set his lance in its rest. And they charged at each other as fast as their horses could carry them.
Sick.
Yep. With their anger and rage and the strength in their arms, they made their lances shiver and fly into pieces. But Enguigaron was the only one to fall.
Again, sure. Yep. Because nothing bad can happen to this chosen boy. All right. So they lance up. They're charging at each other. Boom. They both hit. And Enguigaron, even though a much more experienced knight, is taken off of his horse. All
wounded
right.
By a thrust clean through his shield.
Wow. So this, yeah, wow.
And he was in terrible pain in his arm and side. The boy dismounted, not knowing how to attack him on horseback. Down he jumped, sword in hand, and strode up to Enguigaron.
I've trained on pillows.
I don't know what else to tell you. I shan't describe what befell each man and give you details of every blow.
I'm sorry, what are we doing right now?
But the battle lasted a long while, and the blows they dealt were terrible until Enguigaron fell.
No. This isn't the part where you yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah. You yada, yada, yada the battle. Yeah.
You can't yada, yada the battle. That's the fucking cool. What?
Yeah, yeah. Literally, I don't know what else to tell you. That's my favorite line. What do you want?
What are we doing, my guy? Like, I'm with you to not repeat stuff you just said in the story.
Right, yeah.
But the part where we're about to get into a sweet sword fight, you can't...
Yeah, shitty movies do this, dude. You know?
The Predator, one of my absolute favorites. There's the scene where for lack of a better term, the Native American dude is on the log bridge.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly.
He's out of ammo. The predator lands behind him, uncloaks. He, like, cuts himself on the chest, like, turns around and is about to fucking... And, you know, the predator busts out his fucking cool claws, and they're about to have... what is arguably the coolest goddamn piece of filmmaking we've ever seen, and it just cuts away to Arnold hearing him scream. Fuck no, that's awful.
Later you see him skinned, right?
Yeah, he's dead and skinned, and clearly the predator won, but you can't yada 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 through what is arguably the coolest like part of this movie. Like, what?
Yeah. And show me skinning him.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
To be fair, I think they do give you that shot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They do give you him
dead. Well, they give you him dead and
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I thought, like, wow. I remember watching that part and thinking, like, to take that trophy, because that's the only time the Predator does that. Where he skins the guy?
I think he takes a couple other trophies. Yeah, I think he, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't seen The Predator, now's a good time.
Now's a good time. I ruined a part that the nothing. Film ruined by itself. So go watch The Predator.
Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't seen it by now, I'm so sorry. That's your bet. The battle lasted a long while, and the blows they dealt were terrible until Enguigaron fell. The boy attacked him fiercely until he cried for mercy, but he said he would have no mercy whatsoever.
So he's going against the nobleman's training. Yep. Chivalry is dead, my friends.
But then he remembered the nobleman who had taught him never to kill a knight deliberately once he had vanquished him and he had mastery. And Enguigaron cried, Good, gentle friend, don't be so cruel as to refuse me mercy. I grant and accord you victory. You're a true and splendid knight indeed, but no one would have believed from seeing you and knowing us both that you'd have killed me in battles by your own arms alone. But if I testify in the presence of my men outside my tent that you vanquished me in combat, my word will be taken and your honor will be much enhanced, much more than any other knight's. And if you are of a lord who's done you some kindness or service and has had no reward from you, then send me to him and I'll go tell him on your behalf how you vanquished me in battle and yield myself as his prisoner to do with me as he will.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is actually, not in this way as freely yielded, but actually somewhat true. You know, like when you defeated a knight, he could come. If the ransom wasn't paid, this guy would be yours.
Oh, wow. So you just kind of got team. You picked up a minion. Sure.
Yeah. A curse on whoever would sue for more, said the boy. I'll tell you where to go then to that castle. And you'll tell the fair girl who's my love that never, as long as you live, will you ever trouble her again. And you'll put yourself entirely, wholly at her mercy. And Enguerrand replied, then kill me. For she would have me killed. She desires for nothing so much as to bring me shame and torment. For I was involved in her father's death. Remember I told you the death thing?
Yeah.
And I've incurred her greatest anger by killing and capturing all her knights this year. Anyone who sent me to her would be committing me to a terrible imprisonment. It's the worst he could possibly do. If you have any other friend or sweetheart who's not so keen to do me harm, send me to him or her. For this one would certainly take my life if she ever got her hands on me.
So they're both drama queens. They're both fucking just zero to boo-hoo. All right, Jesus. I actually kind of like the punishment, right? But you're kind of taking the chill out of it all.
And so he told him to go to a castle belonging to a worthy man, and he gave him the noble's name. There is not a mason in all the world who could have described the castle better than he. He told him with high praise of the river and the bridge and the turrets and the tower and the mighty walls around it, until Enguerrand realized all too well that the boy wanted to send him as a prisoner to the place he was hated most. So he's trying to send him to Gornamon of Gorhat. Yeah. Good brother, he said. You're sending me to no haven there. God help me. You mean to put me in the worst plight and the worst hands, for I killed one of his brothers in this war. Kill me yourself, my good dear friend, rather than make me go to him. If you force me there, it'll be death for me. And the boy replied,
bro, it ain't my fault. You just keep killing people. Yeah. You killed homegirl's dad. You killed this guy's brother. You're kind of a dick.
And the boy replied, then he'll go as a prisoner to King Arthur. Give the king my greetings and tell him from me to show you the girl whom Kay, the seneschal, struck because she laughed when she saw me. You'll yield yourself the prisoner and tell her, if you please, that I pray God to let me live long enough to avenge her.
Huh? Wow. Okay. That's a bit of a twist, but I don't hate it.
And Enguerrand replied that he would do that service as well and as finely as he could. The victorious knight turned back towards the castle while Enguerrand set off to his imprisonment, giving orders that a standard should be taken down. The besieging army departed till not a fair or dark-haired head remained.
What a mood that has to be. You outnumber. You basically already won the battle through a war of attrition. But that has to be seeing your champion fall, even though all of you could just take this dude out, right? You could all just bum rush him and he's fucked. But our champion went down. God. All right, I guess we got to go back now. Like, what a mood. That, that's like showing up to a game and seeing your team lose. Like, ugh.
The people of the castle poured forth to meet the knights on his return, but they were most upset that he had not taken the head of the defeated knight or brought him back to them. They joyfully helped him dismount and disarmed him at the mounting stone, but they all said, since you've not brought Enguerrand back, why didn't you cut off his head?
Fair question. You know, I think of that about basically everyone. Anytime my girl comes through the door, wait, you don't have the grocer's head? What are we doing here?
Yeah. How did you get groceries?
Or the many other things she does. Yes, I just chose gro yeah.
And he replied, "In faith, my lords, I think that would have been most ill-advised. He's killed your kinsman, and I couldn't have protected him. You'd have killed him in spite of me. And it wouldn't have been very good of me to refuse his mercy when I had the better of him. And do you know what that mercy was? He's to present himself as a prisoner to King Arthur if he keeps his promise to me." Just then the girl appeared and greeted him with the greatest joy and led him to her chamber to rest and take his ease. She did not resist his embraces and kisses. Instead of eating and drinking, they sported and kissed and embraced and exchanged sweet words.
All right, nice. I mean, yeah,
Yeah.
he's getting a happily ever after, and there's no grail to be found yet, so
Here you go. And here's a little, well, you'll see. Meanwhile, and you may have forgotten about this, but literally, meanwhile.
Marvel comic books, rearing their ugly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Clamadius, oh, remember him? He's the guy that and Gigeron was talking was
Yes,
below, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Clamadius was the big guy, and his delusion was expecting to have the castle without contest that day until he met a boy along his way lamenting terribly, who told him the news about Gigeron the seneschal. "In God's name, sir, things are going badly," said the boy, who was grieving so much that he was tearing at his hair with both hands.
Wow, everyone here is just so dramatic.
Emotional regulation was not a thing in the Middle Ages,
Not
apparently.
a thing at all. 0 to 100.
And Clamadius replied, "What's wrong? Truly, sir, your seneschal has been defeated in combat and is to yield himself prisoner to King Arthur. He's on his way now. Who did this, boy? Speak up. How could it happen? Where could this knight have come from? Who could beat such a worthy and valiant man into submission?" "Oh, dear sir," the boy replied, "I don't know who the knight was, but I know this much, for I saw it myself. He came out of Beaurepaire and was armed with red arms." Your guess, mine. Yeah.
Maybe the color of the armor he had.
I think so. I think that has to do with it. Beaurepaire, I can tell you a little bit. It is a city in France. So it's like a county area, and it looks like it's close to the river we had mentioned, the Loire.
Okay, okay.
So I think that that's,
By the Luar's description, yeah, it has every type of castle and settlement by it.
This is closer to the south of France, closer to Switzerland, like south east. So yeah, I think you're right. That has to do with the type of knight he was or who he's fighting for.
Sure.
"Tell me, boy, what shall I do now?" he cried, nearly out of his mind. "Now, sir, go back the way you came. You'll gain nothing by carrying on." Just as he said this, there appeared a rather white-haired knight who had always been Clamadius's mentor, who said, "Those are base words, boy. You should give wiser and better advice than that. He'd be mad to listen to you. If he takes my advice, he'll carry on, sir," he continued. "Do you want to know how to get the knight and the castle? I'll tell you the way most certainly, and it'll be done with ease. Within the walls of Beaurepaire, there's nothing to drink or eat, and the knights are weak, while we are strong and healthy, neither hungry nor thirsty, and could endure a great battle if they dared to come out and engage us. We'll send 20 knights to fight outside the gate." The knight, sporting with his fair love, Blanche Fleur. So now we get a name.
Hey.
Yeah, Blanche Fleur. Any idea what that means?
A beautiful flower.
Very close. That'd be the Beauflore. So Blanche is probably the white flower, the pale flower.
Okay.
Will want to prove his chivalry, but he won't have a chance. He'll be captured or killed. For the others who will be so weak, we'll give him little help. The 20 will do nothing except draw them into the trap and keep them occupied while we creep up through the valley and close in on them from behind. "Truly," said Commodius, "I approve of that. We have 400 armed knights here and 1,000 footmen fully equipped, all chosen fighting men. Our enemies are all as good as dead.
Dun dun dun. That's a pretty good meanwhile. Like
Yeah.
that's Dr. Doom, like, pontificating to his retinue. That's pretty cool.
I agree. And Jan, that's where we're going to call it tonight.
That's a pretty good cliffhanger. We ended on the zoom out from a castle as like lightning cracks, right? That's pretty sick. That's pretty sick.
And the bad guys are plotting. Yeah,
Oh yeah.
absolutely.
Bro, Dr. Claw is up to his nonsense again. The best.
100%. So, any final impressions here? Anything you're taking away from here?
If this story has taught me anything, he's going to ride in and immediately in one fell swoop, or the narrator will be too lazy to describe it. He'll just immediately defeat the army and get everything he's ever wanted.
Probably a good guess. And we'll find out next time. We love you.
Yeah, much love to everyone on the internet. Follow us on anything you can find us on.
100%.
All
If you can find us, you can
plugs. Yeah.
follow us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at
That's
that.
a good way to
It's as
exit.
easy as that.
Yeah. So good luck. We won't tell you. Good luck. Much love. See you all.
Bye.